This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. Phone-in elements of these shows are not available, but if you'd like to comment or give us feedback on our shows, you can tweet us at Love Sport Radio. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com. Alternatively, you can find this and other podcasts on iTunes or Spotify using the keyword Love Sport.
Underground, overground, wumbling free. The wombles of Wimbledon, common are we. Making good use of the things that we find. Things that the everyday folks leave behind. Uncle Bulgaria, we can remember the days when he wasn't behind the time. With his map of the world, pick up the papers and take them to Trump.
Nine games to go and 3 points clear of that safety zone. You'd rather have the points than the game in hand, or at least that is what the experts tell us anyway. A poor draw with Bolton can be banished to the books of history as we divert our attentions to Doncaster this coming Saturday. We're going to be getting into all of that. We'll be breaking down the big Bond event. We'll be hearing from commercial exec Ivor Heller, and we'll also be working our way around League One and all the action going into another big weekend in England's third tier. We might also have to touch on that pesky coronavirus too. On this, the AFC Wimbledon Fan Show on Love Sport, the station giving fans a voice. We've got your team covered with Churchill Business Insurance. Me, Matt Beadle, joined as ever by the jubilant George Jones.
Good evening, how are you?
Very good, thank you, George. Great to have you here as part of the 9 Years podcast. Of course, shortly we'll be hearing as well from Kevin Borras from the 9 Years podcast too. He will be joining us on the show. We wait with bated breath on that one, George. But firstly, let's get into the game last weekend against Bolton. Is it a case of the less said about it, the better? Talk to me.
Yeah, I think it's one of those where we do need to move on. When I came on the show a couple of weeks ago, when we looked forward to it, I said it's one of those games where we won't perform because we don't turn up against the small sides, really. We tend to perform against better sides, and that was definitely the case. We just didn't turn up. We didn't want it, and that's really disappointing because we win that, and there's a lot of clear air between us and the relegation spot, whereas now there's not so much.
No, there's not, of course. Results elsewhere, not particularly going your way. And we talk about runs, and we'll get on to runs later on in the show, of course, and we can hark back to the end of last season when yourselves went on a brilliant run to stay in League One. Tranmere, out of nowhere, George, winning 3 on the bounce. And not only that, 3 away from home too.
Yeah, I think they're going to be a team this year which, you know, I think they are going to do better away from home in the running because of the state of their pitch. It's going to be really difficult for them to get any results at home. And those 3 results have really sent shockwave through the lower sort of lower half of League One. Because it was one of those where a couple of weeks ago we looked like we'd be 10 points clear. Now all of a sudden we're 3 points clearer and they've still got one game in hand. So it's really starting to look like what we did last year, and Tranmere may be getting out of it. So despite what we said before about it's between us and Tranmere, a lot of our fans are now having to start to look at other teams who we might be able to drag into it, because Tranmere have picked up an awful long way.
Is that really a case of where it's getting to? You're actually going, do you know what, maybe it's not just Tranmere. Let's look elsewhere and see who else we can drag into this relegation scrap.
Yeah, I think it's now we're looking at saying, do you know what, Rochdale, they're not safe. MK, they're not safe. Maybe Accrington, they're in free fall at the moment. You know, maybe we can catch one of them, because I think there's a lot of people are starting to worry that we might finish below Tranmere. So they're trying to work out who is that team that we could finish above still.
It's quite incredible, isn't it? The end to this season. If, of course, the season does end. Now, we know that EFL games are definitely going ahead this weekend. That has already been confirmed so far. We also know that EFL clubs are understood to be opposed quite strongly to matches being played behind closed doors. Now, that brings with it all kinds of financial constraints, of course, real hits on the revenue. PM Boris Johnson addressed the nation earlier just with regards to coronavirus. It is simply too big a subject for us to ignore on the AFC Wimbledon Fan Show, so we do have to discuss it. I'm looking forward to hearing what you have to say on it, George. Kevin Borras will join us as well very shortly. Here is what Boris Johnson had to say on sport and how it might be affected by coronavirus.
The scientific advice, as we've said over the last couple of weeks, is that banning such events will have little effect on the spread. But there is also the issue of the burden that such events can place on public services.
Boris Johnson there speaking about coronavirus and its impact within sport, George. Now, part of that was slightly mixed messaging. When I first listened to it, I was like, well, what's the point that he's actually trying to make? Because he's saying, listen, everything's okay. We're going ahead with what we need to go ahead with. But, and he used the word burden there, that sporting events could be a burden, of course, on society moving forward because of coronavirus. Now, we're led to believe that we're going from containing to delaying. This is the phase in which social distancing comes in. Now, we know from football, George, that social distancing is the antithesis of that. Everybody comes together in small huddles. So you, as a football fan, as an AFC Wimbledon fan, as a fan who goes to every game pretty much week in, week out, games behind closed doors, what does that mean to you?
I think for everyone, games behind closed doors, certainly in the Football League, maybe not in the Premier League, but in the Football League, it's a non-starter. It doesn't work for fans, for clubs, for the finances. You know, it's a non-starter. You can't even look into it. Darren McAntony, the Peterborough owner, said it'd cost them $200,000 if all their games were behind closed doors. And lower league clubs, that'd kill off at least three or four clubs in the lower divisions. So you can't do that. So realistically, when it gets to a stage, because I think sadly it's going to be a when we have to start looking at these things, you have to start suspending the league and potentially we end up having to restart the league in June or July.
Quite incredible what might actually happen this season in the Football League. We don't know yet, of course. There are two players in Serie A, Manolo Gagliardini, a former Southampton player, of course, has been tested positive. Three Leicester players not tested positive. That's important to confirm, but now in isolation ahead of their game with Watford this weekend. All it really takes is for one squad to be tested positive, and then that is pretty much it. Kevin Boras joins us now. Hello, Kevin.
Hello, Matt. How are you?
Yeah, good. Thank you. Great having you
good.
With us.
Thank
Just
you.
Wanted to get your opinions on this one, really, because, you know, coronavirus is a big deal now. It's kind of becoming all the more real, isn't it? Especially, listen, health absolutely comes first and foremost, and it doesn't just revolve around football, but this is Love Sport. It's the AFC Wimbledon fan show. So we've got to talk about how it's going to impact AFC Wimbledon moving forward.
Well, yeah, as George said, you look at the amount of money. So Peterborough would lose 200,000, probably so would we. Peterborough are a much, much wealthier club than we are in terms of their finances and their budget and the amount of money they can spend on players. It would make a huge dent in Peterborough's finances. It would make an even bigger one for us. But you think of clubs like, look at Burton, when they played Bolton the other night, they had the crowd was 2,036. Can you imagine how much £200,000 would mean to Burton to lose that money? They just don't have it. I think George has been quite generous, saying three or four clubs could have got out of business. Probably more than that. You look at Stevenage or Morecambe or clubs at the bottom of League Two who are just not getting the crowds in because of various reasons, because they're bottom of the league largely. It's huge. And I think the idea of suspending the league makes a lot more sense, although people would miss football and you'd have messed up a million people milling around on a Saturday afternoon with nothing to do. But yeah, I think if the Euros could move to next year, means the season could finish in June. Obviously, it wouldn't matter for us, for we haven't got any international players. But for the Premier League, it would mean that half the Premier League players are going to be playing in the Euros. So it's huge. If that can be moved to a year's time, in my line of work, I was supposed to be working at a huge trade show in Amsterdam in April with 38,000 people. That's been moved by a year. And I'm a type 1 diabetic, so I'm in the top sort of priority list of at-risk people, although I'm not that old. But so for me, it's affecting me in a lot of ways. And I think behind closed doors would just be horrific, because we get to this point of the season where we're hoping we're going to see our team stay up with our final games at Kings Meadow. We want to be there. We want to see the team and wave them off to the new ground. And to do that from our homes and watching it on iFollow, it's just not the same.
It's absolutely not the same, is it, George? And we are facing, we have to be realistic here, and we had the Millwall fan show on before, and ex-chairman kind of jokingly said, well, do you know what, if we get to the playoffs by the end of this week, which is possible, I think, on goal difference, but if they were to get there, he was like, if it stops then, that's fine. It's like, well, it's not, because you will then be punished, because there won't be a playoffs. Yeah. I mean, for you, the thought of the League One season actually not finishing. The implications that this has. I mean, how do you make any particular decisions? And we'll get onto League One a bit later on in the show in terms of the division as a whole, but it just compounds what has been already a completely bonkers campaign with what's going on in terms of results and the very small difference in points between teams at the bottom and teams at the top, and the fact that we saw one team disappear at the start of the season.
Yeah, and that's the thing. In a year when you've had Bury, you know, go out of existence, Bolton so nearly going out of business as well, and, you know, starting the season on minus 12 points, if you end up on the season finishing a month early because of this, it'd be the most bonkers season ever in football history, I think. And it's horrific that it's affecting everyone in the way it has.
And you've also got the idea of a lot of clubs who beat Bolton early in the season, yeah, and thrashed them 5-0, and they lost five games in a row by five goals. Yeah. Never happened before in league history. Mm. And one of those teams was Tranmere. You play Bolton now, as we found out at the weekend, and Burton found out on Tuesday, they're much better than that now. And it's kind of skewed the whole season. So to skew it again, it's just going to be ridiculous.
Yeah, and I mean, that's the thing, and that's why already at the end of the season, it's going to be a farce if Tranmere stay up or if they go down or, you know, whatever happens. They'll be major contention because of how Bolton started the season. And if you end up the season with, let's say the season did end today, or even if it ends on Tuesday next week, everyone would have played a different number of games in our league.
Yeah.
And it's just, there's in other leagues, you can say, yeah, there's maybe ways you can do it. But in League One, there's just absolutely no way you can work out where everyone would be finishing. And
well,
it's just...
The Championship, everyone's played 37. Every single team's played the same amount of games. So at least you could say, well, it's an even playing field. If you go further down football, if you look at the Northern Premier League, which I sadly looked at the other day, one team, I forget who is it, maybe Alfreton, have played 23, and there's another team at the top of the league who played 32. You can't cancel that league and say that's fair if one team's played nine games less. It's crazy. And it's because they've had success in the cups and a very poor pitch. So why get punished for that?
I completely agree with you, Kevin, and It's just a real tough one, isn't it? And a lot of England fans will go, for crying out loud, we've got a tournament in the summer and this is what we've been looking forward to. But when you've got a Euros that, you know, is spread all across Europe and then we're seeing the semis and the final here, George, I mean, you would rather, and listen, I'm presuming we might have had this conversation before, I don't know. Are you an England fan as well as an AFC Wimbledon fan?
Yeah.
Right, so a lot of lower league fans as well primarily go to watch England abroad, more so than Premier League fans. But given the option here to finish the League One season not knowing what will happen or have the Euros, what would you rather have?
I think it's going to be finishing League One because I don't think there's any chance of the Euros happening this summer, if we're honest. Even a normal Euros would be a struggle to get it done this summer, but especially the just so happens this has kicked off the one Euro Championship season where it's all over Europe, and there's just no way that can happen. So, to be honest...
It would have been less impractical if the Euros had been in one country.
Yeah.
And you could perhaps move the country. But if it's in what's all over Europe, there's games in Italy, isn't there?
Yeah.
Well, there clearly won't be, but that's the plan.
Mm. Yeah, and I mean, that's the thing. And it, also, when the Euros are cancelled, it does give more breathing space to all of the top divisions all over Europe by saying you've got an extra month or 2 months now to get in any games you need to get in. And in that regard, it's probably a better year for it to happen. But I can't see the Euros happening this summer now. Certainly not with what's happening in Italy and Spain, certainly right now.
No, certainly not. But something that certainly is happening is that move, of course, to a stadium in Plough Lane. Plenty of coverage this week from the club. We'll get onto that in a moment. But just a quick reminder that from the 31st of March, Love Sport's national station will be the only way of listening to Love Sport on DAB radio across the UK. If you are listening to us on Love Sport London, you need to retune your radio. Retuning is an easy process. Just press the auto-tune refresh or auto-scan button on your digital radio, or go into the menu and press auto-tune to make sure you do not miss your favourite shows right here on Love Sport.
For the fans, by the fans, Love Sport Radio.
It's the AFC Wimbledon Fans Show here on Love Sport. Me, Matt Beadle, joined as ever by George Jones of the 9 Years podcast. Kevin Borras, also of the 9 Years podcast, with us here too. Now, gents, you both produced quite sterling efforts last week on the AFC Wimbledon Fans Show to pretty much leave me not having to do much, which was quite enjoyable. I just reclined in my chair and listened to you guys as you reported around Tunnel 267, which George reliably informs me was renamed for one night instead of being the Batsford Arms.
Yeah, it was renamed the Batsford Arms for one night only to...
It was renamed the Batsford Arms.
Yes,
yes.
To commemorate us and celebrate the bond and, you know, how well we've done considering where we were 6 months ago. And it really was an incredible evening that, you know, I hope we brought that to you last week through all of the interviews that Kevin did. I know he wants to speak more about them later. But it was one of those where we did, it really celebrated the spirit of the club, what we're all about. And I mean, just the thing is, it was a nightclub that was owned by a fan who gave it to the club for free for one evening. And just that sums up all of what we're about as a club. And I think, you know, it's trying to communicate that as the bond is still open, we're still fighting for it. And we've somehow raised £5.5 million nearly in the space of 2 months.
£5.5 million in 2 months. I mean, it's quite staggering. And Kevin, let's talk about the event itself, because I know that it means a lot to you guys. And you were there, you know, speaking to people. When you're working on these types of things, sometimes you don't actually get to take in what's actually happening in front of you. Were you able to consume everything about the event, the people that you were speaking to, the emotions running through the place as well? Or was it very much a case of, no, I'm here to work and that's it?
Both, really, because the people I interviewed, I knew them. So I've known, if people listened to the show last week, Mark Jones and Chris Phillips, I've known those guys for the best part of 25 years. I've known either Heller, our commercial director. We used to get the coaches together from outside Plough Lane to away games in the early 80s. I mean, either go back like 35 years. It's horrible to think they're old. But yeah, that was why, because if I'd just spoken to fans who didn't know, I might have just been in work mode, because I was just chatting to my friends. I just happened to be recording it and going out live on the radio. But that was what it wanted. I wanted it to sound like that. So people were listening, it would just sound like two people who support the same football club chatting about what we've achieved. And the fact that we spoke with everybody about how telling other people who don't support our club or don't have any interest in football what we've achieved with the bond makes you think, good God, we've actually done that. It is quite extraordinary, the fact that we've raised that much money in that short space of time. And I think we've have confirmed that no other football club in the world has raised that much money through a fan thing or fan initiative ever. And we've done it. And here we are talking about it. It's kind of, you get sort of blasé about it, because I'll say again, we as a club and as a fan base, we've made making the impossible possible, just a run-of-the-mill thing. We just do it. If there's a challenge, we'll meet it. If there's a deadline, we'll meet it. If we get relegated, we'll go back up again. If we get our club moved 75 miles away, we'll start again and overtake them within a few years. You know, we just kind of do that thing, and it's interesting and very heartening to see the amount of people there that I knew from Plough Lane in the 80s and early and very, very early 90s. People that I hadn't seen maybe 15 years. Some people hadn't been to Kingsmeadow. They hadn't been. They'd stopped going when we left Plough Lane in 1991. And then now, because we're moving back, they're interested again. So that's, you know, I wouldn't have done that. I could not supported my team for 29 years, but that was their choice. But it was interesting that bunch of people, plus people of George's age, who've only ever seen a play at Kingsmeadow. Plough Lane is like a distant thing. They've seen it on TV. They've seen very shaky videos from Match of the Day in the 80s. But it means a lot to all of us, really.
And I mean, that's the thing. It's one of those where you really showed how much of a club we sort of are and how together we are. And this is one of the things that I was concerned about all throughout this project, was how different generations of fans would be treated and react during this process of, you know, people, you know, your age, Kevin, who, you know, went to Plough Lane, and people my age who, you know, don't even remember going to Selhurst. And the fact is, it really feels like one club and one community again, which way you look at where we were right at the start of December at that meeting, we're a million miles away from that now. And to think that was only 4 months ago, that's really, really remarkable.
Yeah, and it is. And the fact that we had three current players there from, you know, three who all come through the academy, all mean something to them. You can tell that they're proud to be associated with us. And you look at, we had Peter Fear, one of our old players, come. He left Wimbledon in 1999. And he still came along 21 years later just to celebrate, because he lives in the local area and he's associated with the club. He doesn't support Wimbledon. Most people know who he supports. I'm not going to mention it. He happily would tell anyone who he supports. But he came along. And Terry Brown, our manager, four managers ago, came along because he wanted to be associated with the club. It's amazing. I don't know how many other clubs So it's like Bruce Rioch turning up to an Arsenal event. Can you imagine that?
Yeah, which is incredible, really, isn't it? And again, that just goes to show the level of where this club is at in terms of its community feel, its emotion, I suppose. And gents, I was watching some of the videos earlier on this week that the club have put out, of course, and the great moments that were captured of Glyn Hodges walking out at the stadium currently under construction in Plough Lane. Of course, you had Terrell Thomas there, you had Scott Wagstaff was there, Mitch Pinnock was there, Kwezi was there, Jack Rudoni was there, which is brilliant, of course, because the youngsters coming through, the next wave of AFC Wimbledon players. Joe Piggott as well was there, seemingly fancied himself as a bit of a constructor, didn't he? Yeah. They were kind of ripping, the lads were ripping him because they said he felt like it needed a bit of screening, I think, to go on or something like that. But George...
he knows nothing about that, apparently.
That was brilliant.
Mitch Pinnock did work in the building trade, so he does know what he's talking about.
Fair play. To be fair, some of them, when they were talking, you were like, okay, maybe they do know what they're referencing. But it was great, wasn't it, George, to see that? I mean, those moments there, seeing the stadium, actually seeing the outline of the pitch as well. Again, you're thinking, wow, this is real.
Yeah, I mean, I saw it in person for the first time this week, and it becomes so real, and it's starting to look like a football stadium. You can see where that pitch is now. It won't be long before you can even start seeing that pitch being installed and before the sort of semi-permanent stands start going up. And then it's hard to think now, but we're, well, depending on what happens, we could be 4 months away from our first game there. And that's ridiculous to say, but we're so close. That long journey for people, you know, who have been going, you know, nearly 30 years now. And we are now 4 months away from getting home. And it's mad. And I think one of those things where... it hasn't quite sunk in for most people yet, and I don't think it will. And I know we've been talking about it on our podcast group chat a lot, but it's going to be so emotional for everyone, you know, at the end of August or early September when we move in. It's going to be so emotional for, you know, whether you went to Plough Lane or you didn't, it feels like we're going home. And even for people my generation, we're starting to feel that buzz you get when you get a new stadium. And the thing we saw this week on Saturday when the club launched the Farewell Kings Meadow campaign with the embroidery on the shirt, it's all just starting to come together now that, you know, we've got only one more Saturday 3 o'clock kickoff left at Kings Meadow before we go home. And it sounds ridiculous, but we're so close there, and I think that's going to really give us a boost towards the end of the season, because it's real now for the first time, well, certainly since I've been supporting us, it feels real that we're going home.
Just very quickly, gents, before we talk a bit more about this, there is a bit of news coming in that Mikel Arteta has apparently been tested positive for coronavirus. That's news that's just coming in now. We'll confirm that as and when it is reported from official outlets. Fabrizio Romano, of course, an established Italian journalist, has said that that has been confirmed. On the Arsenal Twitter, I believe, there is a suggestion that he has been tested positive for coronavirus. That is Arsenal manager Mikel Arteta testing positive for coronavirus. We'll give you news on that one. Of course, that will have huge implications on activity in the Premier League this weekend. But gents, let's just quickly go back to this situation involving Plough Lane. And I kind of want to get what you just said there, George, in the sense that it's going to be the end of an era at Kings Meadow. What's your feeling about this? Because there is such an excitement to move to your spiritual home, your new spiritual home, but a sense of, you know, it's going to be emotional, isn't it, to say goodbye?
Yeah, and I think it is. And it's one of those things where, you know, for me, my home ground has always been Kings Meadow. But when you look at it and you just see the new ground, and it, I think with Joe Palmer, the CEO at the club, I think it is going to feel like a home ground from us from day one. And that's going to be so important for us that it will feel like home. It's not going to be one of these soulless bowls that, you know, people never really adapt to. I think it will genuinely feel like a home ground for us from day one. And that's going to be so important. And I think everyone's really looking forward to it. Not just because obviously it's a new home ground, but also the opportunity it brings for the finances of the club, how much that's going to improve, you know, in our playing budget, because this is really essential if we want to establish ourselves as a stable mid-table League One team.
Yeah, would you concur with that, Kevin?
Yeah, I said, for me, it's going back to playing. It's kind of strange feeling what I have as for that ground, because so I started going in 78 and we left in 91. I've been going to Kings Meadow, seeing my team, for 5 years longer. But this doesn't seem like it, because we've always thought, even when it was our ground for most of that time before we sold to Chelsea, it never felt like home. It was like we were renting a house and having our own home built, and it's just taken best part of 30 years to have that house built. Many, many challenges along the way. But I hadn't seen it. I think I've only been past the old ground, or the now flat, maybe twice since they were built. I just can't bring myself to go past it. It's really weird. But going to the... So we had a very interesting meeting on Sunday about the football, and we just happened... I thought, well, we're opposite the ground. Let's go and have a look. And we just happened to wander in. We couldn't get very close. But it was just really... It was an odd feeling that it was that close. We'd seen it on the pictures. We'd seen the drone videos. We'd seen the plans. We'd seen everything. But the fact that we were there... And the ground is in front of us. We actually see this. It's a nice looking ground, but it wouldn't. I didn't care what it looked like, really. It's just that it's ours. It's like seeing your house built. I felt like Alan Partridge in that second series, seeing his house, the Cinnamons, being built from the static caravan. It just, for me, it meant a lot, just seeing that thing there, just thinking that's going to be, and as George said, in a few months' time, we'll be sitting there, or I'll be sitting opposite it, watching football. We don't know what division we'll be in or what season we'll be playing it in. But we're going to be there very soon. It's brought it home very, very quickly, I think.
Yeah, it has indeed. Kevin Boris there comparing himself to Alan Partridge. Who would have thought it, George Jones? In a moment or two, we're going to be hearing from your discussion with Ivor Heller last week at that event as well. George, before we do that, just a quick Academy update.
Yeah, very briefly, the under-23s lost their Central League Cup game to Cambridge on Tuesday. We were a fairly young side. We had a 16-year-old playing, so that's not a total surprise. But the under-18s had an incredible win away to Exeter on last Saturday. And considering they had to travel down there on the day for a 1 o'clock kickoff, that's a good achievement to win away to Exeter. Mm. They got a good academy. It was a really solid 3-0 win. They're now top of Merit League One, which would be, for us winning that, they're in the final of the Merit League Cup, which would be for the first time in our history. And the under-18s are doing so well. And it'll be great when that cup final comes about if we can get a crowd there and really support our boys to win the first silverware of the season for the under-18s.
Absolutely. George Jones there with his customary Academy update. Love hearing those from the boy himself. This is the AFC Women and Fans show. Just to remind you of that breaking news coming out from Arsenal this evening. They've released a statement now to say that their London Colney training centre has been closed after head coach Mikel Arteta received a positive COVID-19 result this evening. Now, Arsenal personnel who had recent close contact with Mikel will self-isolate in line with the government health guidelines. They expect this to be a significant number of people from Colney, including the full first team squad and coaching staff, as well as a smaller number of people from the Hale End Academy. They've also temporarily closed that as a precaution. That is Mikel Arteta there, the Arsenal manager, receiving a positive result for coronavirus. No doubt that will have huge implications on the Premier League this weekend. It's the AFC Wimbledon Fan Show, back in a moment.
We've all got one, and we're not afraid to put it on display. Our opinions, that is. Share yours now at Love Sport Radio on Twitter or call us 0208 70 20 558. Love Sport Radio, your fan station.
The AFC Wimbledon Fan Show here on Love Sport, the station giving fans a voice. We've got your team covered with Churchill Business Insurance, where you can take the stress out of managing your business with Churchill. Churchill's standard policy provides £1 million of public liability cover with access to our 24/7 legal helpline. Not to mention a range of add-ons, including cover for your tools and business equipment, personal accident and employer's liability insurance. Visit the public liability page on churchill.com. Churchill is underwritten by UK Insurance Limited. It's the AFC Wimbledon Fan Show. It's me, Matt Beadle, George Jones and Kevin Boras of the 9 Years podcast. Kevin, you spoke to Ivor Heller last week.
I did. So, yeah, Ivor obviously is our commercial director, but he's become a bit of a media star since we formed the club. He's obviously well known around the club, but he's done a lot of press, a lot of TV. He was well documented during our playoff final. We won't say why. Doing a number of interesting things. He's done a couple of voiceovers. One of our fans, Charlie Strank, did a very interesting Lego animation of the club, about the club, and I voiced that. He was on, I think I won't give him advertising, a TV show, an internet TV show this week, talking about what mass postponements of games and playing behind closed doors means for local clubs. So I was a very well-liked, well-known person among the club. So he and I go back a long way into the early 80s of going get on coaches go for away games. And Ivor, you couldn't find him more passionate about the club. And the fact that Ivor is a massive fan and a director of the club, he kind of sums up what our club is all about, the fact that fans run the club. And it's perfect. So I caught up with him at the show, at the event, sorry, last week. And we just talked about, again, standing back occasionally and looking at just seeing what we've done and trying to sum it up. And it's not an easy thing to do, but obviously Ivor managed it being Ivor.
Good stuff, Kevin. Of course, he contributes as well to the League One post-match fan show, which you can catch here on Love Sport every Saturday evening at 8 p.m. And tell you what, Kevin, we're going to listen to it now. Here is how your interview went.
We're currently in as the club. Early December. Let's be fair, didn't look good. And here we are, not that long later, almost £5.4 million raised by fans for this bond. I mean, I'm at the point where I can't believe we've raised this much money. I know we're going to raise even more and trying to get to 7.5 million. But how do you feel about it as a club director, that the fans have pretty much just done this off their own back?
Well, I think you've got to take things into context that I'm going to be a bit different to some others. Whereas I started out as a fan.
Yeah.
I've always been a fan, always will be a fan. And the truth of it is that I always thought that we should have been talking to our fans more than we have been. And I always felt that there was more to come from our fans. And there's nothing like a bit of righteous indignation to get things moving. And really, I liken the energy from this bond to where we are right now.
Yeah.
You know, from when... Sorry, totally lost it then.
It's all right.
From when we started the club...
Yeah.
To where we are right now today, that's how I feel, very much that the energy that's around, that's refocused. I never felt it had gone away. I just never thought we tapped into it.
So how do you feel as a fan, putting aside your club directorship, as a Wimbledon supporter, as either the supporter, not the director? How are you feeling about going back to Plough Lane? Because Chris Phillips just said to me, first game we played there, first league game, he will not be able to not cry.
Yes.
And I think most of us have said the same. They're all of a certain age, all in our 50s, well, the ones who've spoken so far are. It's going to be an emotional thing. Are you prepared for that? I think the build-up's fine,
no.
But the team coming out on the first, before kick-off, on the first game, that's going to be something we haven't coped with. That's going to be extraordinary, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, I can't actually separate the two. Because when I first started out as a director, it didn't actually even register with me about being a director. I was still a fan. I was a fan before anything else, and I still am, really. So what I actually think is that for me, it's nirvana. It's everything that I ever dreamt of. You know, and people literally told me I was stark, staring, raging mad because fans had started a football club. They also told us that I was stark, staring, mad when we actually said that we wanted to get back to the Football League. It's like, fans can't run a club that will get you back to the Football League.
Yep.
And then, not just when we got back to the Football League, but before that, when we said, you know, we wanted to get back to Merton, specifically to Wimbledon, everyone said, well, now you're completely mad, because it's one of the most expensive real estate areas in the world. And what on earth are you actually thinking? And it's just like, well, you know, when there's a will, there's a way. Thankfully, we had some amazing people along the way that helped us and gave us a leg up and so on. And it's just been a crusade. Yeah, when you bear in mind we were very nearly stayed as a Kingston club, this is the ultimate. It's the ultimate poke in the eye for anyone that actually thought that the fans were done, because the fans are never done.
Yeah, true. Well, I've said on all these interviews that as a club, since I've been going since the late 70s, we've made the impossible possible, and it's almost like a lazy phrase because it's so obvious. But it is, no other team has done this, no other fans in the world have raised this much money in such a short space of time.
No, but I also think that and I've said this to a lot of people right from day one, whilst yes, a lot of fans haven't done what we've done, a lot of fans have never been asked to do what we've done, and have never been put in a position to have to do what we've done. And when they do get put into that position, guess what, they smash themselves apart, you know. And that is something that we don't do. That is something that, even though we don't all agree, but that was like that from day one, you know, somehow we find a way to click it all together, and when the going gets tough, Wimbledon's a tough club, it really does get going. There's no doubt about that.
So what, if you can put in one thing, what's the one thing you're looking forward to about having our own ground that we can actually... a ground we can be proud of? We've not had our own ground since 1991.
We have had our own ground we own King's Meadow.
I know, you don't have it in Wimbledon.
The thought of having a ground back in Wimbledon, do you know what I'm really looking forward to? I'm looking forward to being late one day and seeing people walking down the Hayden's Road.
Yeah.
Walking down Gap Road.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to seeing people milling around and then coming into the ground and enjoying what we've got there. And whilst it's never going to be perfect, because nothing ever is, it's going to be ours and it's going to be what we are absolutely... It's what we're owed, actually. It's what we're owed. We should never have left Plough Lane. And people often say to me, yo, would you have swapped the success to have stayed at Plough Lane? And I'm like, yeah, I would, actually. I would, because Plough Lane... Yeah, I was going to Plough Lane before we were a successful non-league team, so what the hell? Yeah, you know, that was all I ever knew growing up. And to have lost it was disgusting. Going back there, I do term it, I think it's a miracle.
Yeah, I know you're right, it is.
Yeah.
It's one of those things, because we're all involved in it, you don't realise the enormity of this. The fact that we raised £2.4 million in the autumn, and then another £5.4 million, it's almost £8 million.
Phenomenal.
It works out as over £2,000 per season to go. It's a ridiculous amount of money. It is ridiculous.
It's incredible, but yo, I personally went out to a group of people at Lloyd's. Lloyd's of London, the insurance people, and it actually went round there, and loads of them invested because, they weren't our biggest investors, but there were enough of them that it made a difference to us, you know. They weren't the only group of people that did it, and it is because our story is totally ridiculous.
It is.
And that's the truth. Our story is. It's a fairy story. If 18 years ago you'd have told people this is what's going to happen, this is how it's going to happen, they would have said you're stark, staring, raging bonkers.
Yes, they would. Even to the point we're in the same division as Sunderland and Ipswich. That's ridiculous. And it's on its own.
Well, we played them in the same week.
Yeah, we did.
Away from home.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that to me as well. Yeah, every time we go somewhere like that, I do often pinch myself and say, oh my God. We're playing at Sunderland, we're playing at Ipswich, we're playing at Pompey. Oh, we always play at Pompey, we take that for granted now, you know, it's totally and utterly absurd.
It is.
The distance we come.
It doesn't feel that long ago we were playing Cobham and Sandhurst and feeling like that's our level. And now it's great clubs, but we've kind of moved on incredibly quickly. This will never happen again, will it? This will never happen again.
No, I mean, I've been talking a lot about this lately because people want to talk to me about all this stuff, but I really remember when I knew that we were going to be back as a football club and we'd get back to the league and we were going to play big teams was the first day of Conference South, away at Newport County.
Yeah,
we took over 1,000 fans there. It piddled down with rain all day long.
Yes,
we won 4-1. We got in the car afterwards, a few of us, and I turned around and said, we're going to win the league this year. And they all turned around and said, you're mental, you're mad. And I'm like, no, we ain't going to play anyone bigger than this.
Yeah,
we're not playing anybody bigger than this team. Like, we've just walked away from here 4-1 in a blinding atmosphere. So we know the team can do it. Right. There'd be no bigger game than this season. We're winning the league.
Yeah.
And that was when I realised that we were going to have other days, not just when we took a lot of fans and were a dominant force, where we were outnumbered.
Yeah.
I wanted to be, and that was the first time that we went anywhere and we were outnumbered.
Right,
loved that.
And you were quite right.
Love it.
Love it, says Ivor Heller, commercial exec there of AFC Wimbledon, speaking exclusively live to Kevin Boras of the 9 Years podcast at the Liftoff event last week, as we spoke about earlier on in the show. Kevin, great interview. I like the fact he used the word nirvana.
Yes, it was good. It's a good point. It's kind of, the idea of nirvana is you reach your kind of spiritual peak. And I think that's probably what we all do. But yeah, the idea of that we're all, we're all of a certain age, we're all business people, and we've all got jobs and families. The idea that we're all going to be crying, I can almost guarantee, as the players walk. It won't be the same when we get there and the players are warming up. That's fine. It's the, they go back in again. You implore them the way in, and then something about players coming out the tunnel. It's not an emotional thing normally, but it's when you get behind the team and see them come out and in their hopefully nice new tracksuit tops and nice new kit. Seeing them come out first game of the season, almost certainly going to be no friendlies, of course. So the first league game will be the first time we see them play there. It will be an extraordinary thing. And I'm not the most emotional of people. I think you've probably come across this on the radio show the last couple of years. I don't get too down. I don't get too up. I'm kind of, you know, I just get on with things. I'm quite stoic, but I will lose it that on that day, I can guarantee.
George Jones, get your camera phone at the ready, mate, and record Kevin Borras losing it.
I don't mind. You can do that. Share it.
Absolutely. No, mate, of course. There's nothing wrong with being in touch with your emotions, especially when it is such an emotional occasion. This is the AFC Wimbledon Fan Show. In a moment or two, we're going to be looking ahead to that game with Doncaster. We're just going to traverse our way around League One as well and look at the recent results and implications of those results on AFC Wimbledon and teams around them. But just a reminder of that breaking news today, and that is that Mikel Arteta, the Arsenal manager, has been tested positive for coronavirus. Now, this news broke less than around half an hour after it was reported from the Premier League that all matches would go ahead as scheduled this weekend despite the coronavirus outbreak. As a result of this news regarding Mikel Arteta, the Premier League are now to hold emergency meetings regarding fixtures. You would imagine that that puts everything on hold. As soon as we have more information, we'll give you that here on Love Sport.
Giving your team a voice, Love Sport Radio.
AFC Wimbledon Fan Show here with me, Matt Beadle, George Jones of the 9 Years Podcast and Kevin Borras of the 9 Years Podcast too. We're going to look ahead to a massive game with Doncaster at the weekend. The fourth time, George, that you would have met Doncaster this season.
Yes, fourth time we've played them. We've had so far one draw, one defeat, one win. So this will be the decider, hopefully.
There we go. That's pretty much all we need to discuss on that one. To be fair, they're on a pretty good resurgence at the moment, aren't they? Kind of rejuvenating their playoff hopes. We'll get onto that in a moment just before we finish the show. But let's look at the results, of course, in League One at the weekend and how that has impacted AFC Wimbledon and those survival hopes. The biggest one, of course, coming between Rochdale and Rotherham at Spotland. Now, Rotherham going into this one, of course, the best away record in League One didn't deter Rochdale, who mauled the Millers, you'd have to say. Great result for them. We mentioned Tranmere as well. They beat Blackpool under new stewardship, Neil Critchley coming in from Liverpool. It was quite a big weekend, wasn't it? And kind of put that goalless draw with Bolton, it gave it more impact, really.
Yeah, because that's the thing. Had we come out of that weekend, even had we drawn against Bolton, but had Tranmere lost and had Rochdale lost like we were expecting them to, all of a sudden it's a point gained and we're in a much better and we're in a good position. Whereas now those 2 points dropped against Bolton, that's looking quite important because now all of a sudden we're in a position where if Tranmere win their game in hand next Tuesday, all of a sudden they're level on points with them just before we play them in the league. And it's that last week is really, it will give them a huge bounce, and they've got a winnable game this weekend against Lincoln. And that's going to be huge for them because we have to hope that bubble bursts, because if they keep on this run, if they build momentum like we did towards the end of last season, they've got a good chance of staying up. And then all of a sudden we're looking at Rochdale, potentially Accrington as well. Teams that, you know, we need to hope fall away, because otherwise it's going to look not great for us between now and the end of the season.
Kevin, what I would say with regards to the game against Lincoln, actually, that George has just referred to there, they hadn't won in 7 coming into last week's clash against Burton. They did win that one. There is a feeling, isn't there, always with these certain teams who have nothing really to play for now, that the shackles are off. They're not going to go up. They're not going to go down. And sometimes that's actually more of a difficult beast to come up against than teams who are playing for something.
Yeah, because if they've got less to lose, you hope they might attack with a bit more abandon. I mean, Michael Appleton teams aren't known for their sort of attacking prowess, but they're a decent side going forward, Lincoln. But to be fair to Tranmere, let's give them a bit of credit. They've won 3 away games on the trot. Now, I can't remember the last time we did that. George might have a good idea, but it's not recently, that's for sure. But give them credit. They've won at Shrewsbury, difficult place to go, Blackpool and Accrington. So it's 3 games I wouldn't expect them to win. So I had them down to getting 1 point from those 3 games, and they've got 9. So, fair play to them. But yeah, they've got Lincoln on Saturday at home, and then they've got Rochdale away on Tuesday, which that's a big game. So then we've got Tranmere, and then on the following Tuesday we've got Rochdale.
Hmm.
Yeah. So I think those three games,
and
Tuesday,
then
Saturday, Tuesday, yeah. and then Lincoln. Yeah, I think it's odd. We're all playing each other. Those three games, only two of which we're playing in, they're important. Tuesday was the worst result of the season for us, even though we didn't play in it. And I think Tuesday, this coming Tuesday, it's kind of a game we want both teams to lose. So a draw, I mean, do we want Tranmere to win that so they overtake Rochdale, then Rochdale are within sort of striking distance for us? Or do we want that to be a draw? Not that it matters what we want. But it's odd. I've fallen asleep the last couple of nights wondering what I want from that game. It has actually helped me get to sleep. But I think maybe we'd look for Rochdale to win that. But it's a tough one. It doesn't... That draw, yeah, could have been a good point as it's turning out. I think that is definitely 2 points dropped and we should have won the game, no question.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I mean, you look into that sort of mini league, or which is going to be played over the next 2 weeks between us, Rochdale and Lincoln... Rochdale and Tranmere, sorry.
Yeah.
And it's one of those where, for Rochdale, if they beat Tranmere, they almost go into our game with a bit of complacency, because if they beat Tranmere, then that puts them safe from Tranmere pretty much. And then that makes our job going there a little bit easier. Because for me, I think we're past the stage now where we want a huge number of teams in it. We want one team to fall away. That's what we need for us to stay up this year. And for
which Saturday do Rochdale not have a game? Is it this week?
Yeah, Rochdale have got a free Saturday this week, so they'll have a rest game before playing on Tuesday night. Which, you know, we've seen teams go one way or the other after having their sort of game off.
Mm.
And you just got to hope that... I mean, we're talking about this now, but if we go and get 6 points against Rochdale and Tranmere, we're safe. But you just got to hope that if we slip up against one of them, they do a favour against the other one, and, you know, one of those teams loses both of those games, because whoever loses both of those games, they're gone already this season. I think that's probably safe to say.
Yeah, and neither of us have really mentioned getting much out of Saturday's game, have we? So,
yeah.
It's Doncaster are one of those teams that you just... They're difficult. Difficult side. They've got no star players. Their best player is 40. It's one of those teams that you just can't really pin down on why they're doing so well. It's just teamwork and effort, and having Darren Moore as their manager. I like Darren Moore.
Sometimes, Kevin, you just can't call it at this stage of the season.
Yeah.
We're going to come back onto this, but very quickly, here is what Glenn Hodges had to say. Of course, it was a great escape last season, and he's trying to get the players to summon everything that they brought to the fore this time last season to remain in League One.
Well, I think it's just to relax and not get tense and hit up. I mean, there's nine games. You know, people are targeting certain games and thinking there's going to be a walkover, but you know, there's games that we've surprised some results. We could potentially win any of them nine. So it's just making sure that we give our chance over the end of it and grab as many as we can. I don't feel the pressure, and we're trying to put that back onto the team. I mean, you look at where we was last year and where we are now, it's chalk and cheese. You know, we've got a lot of this squad, you know, stayed up, did a Mission Impossible last year and that experience, so we're in a good place. A lot of the teams around us haven't experienced that, and we have. So, you know, there's a good feeling, there's a knowledge of how to go about it, and it's not to panic, and there might be some results that don't go away, some do go away. And it's just making sure that, you know, we're fit and ready to do what's required.
Don't panic, George. That is the message from boss Glyn Hodges. I just want to ask you as well, you mentioned at the very top of the show about teams you're looking at to maybe drag into this relegation scrap. You've given me a sheet of paper here. It goes up to 19th spot with Rochdale, right? John Coleman, of course, losing that game last week as Accrington boss. He said by no means are his team out of a relegation scrap. One place below them, you've got another team from North Bucks as well. So how high are we going up with dragging these teams in?
I think realistically, you've got to look at Accrington as the highest ranked team that are still in it. But for them to go down, you've got to look at them and think they've got to lose every game between now and the end of the season. You know, the team from Barks, they're on 37 now. So I think, you know, one win, maybe two wins, and they're definitely safe. Realistically, I think it is that mini league of Rochdale, us and Tranmere. If a team can get one of those teams to get three or four wins between now and the end of the season, they're definitely safe. And it's that mini-league. If whoever wins their two games in that mini-league, they're safe. Whoever loses their two games, they're down. And I think it is all going to come down to... Well, we'll know by the end of March if all those games are played. I think we'll know by the end of the month who's going down from League One.
Yeah, we certainly...
What if all those games are draws, though, George? You're saying that, well, I'm positing a theory now. You're saying, oh, if someone wins two and someone loses two, they're up, they're safe, they're down. What if all the games between us are all draws? Then what? I mean,
in that case, we keep panicking until May when we actually work it out.
Yes, we keep, because then Easter, Good Friday, and that's a month away. We've got Sunderland at home. That's not the game you want to be looking at, is it? as a game to get anything out of. Then Wickham away on Easter Monday. We've got a horrific Easter.
Yeah, but also, you've got to look at it, and you look at Tranmere's last, what is it, their last five. Their last five are Doncaster away, Rotherham home, Gillingham away, Oxford home, and Peterborough away.
Oh, then.
You know, they're not going to get many points between now and the end of the season.
Absolutely not at all. Gents, this has been quite the hour yet again. Plenty over the course of this hour. We've had Ivor Heller on. We've looked at coronavirus, of course, and the impact that that will have. We talked about behind closed doors games. George Jones, certainly not a fan of that. George, before you go, quick score prediction for the weekend.
I can see us getting something. I think we'll either draw or get a 2-1 win.
Draw or a 2-1 win, says George Jones. Just a quick bit of a reminder from breaking news from Arsenal, and that is that Mikel Arteta has received a positive COVID-19 result this evening. As a result, Arsenal have closed down their London Colney training centre. That includes the full first team squad and coaching staff as well. A smaller number of people from the Hale End Academy, which they've also temporarily closed as a precaution, have all self-isolated. As a result, the Premier League, who moments before that news did say that all Premier League games would go ahead this weekend, are now holding emergency meetings regarding the fixtures. Plenty more of that to come here on Love Sport. Tune in to Love Sport Breakfast tomorrow morning. As for the AFC Wimbledon Fan Show, we'll see you next week.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.